Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, November 9th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that wants to congratulate the Flyers-Warriors teams for winning in the Warriors Classic.
Yeah, they're always pretty good, and some of the Flyers were there rooting them on. That was cool.
Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. Keep up to date on all our episodes, Flyers news, some snark. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. I'm here with Russ Cohen, who's on Twitter at Sportsology. Today, we are going to talk about how the NHL and the Flyers have been dealing with COVID this season so far. Things are different from last season, so we just thought we would check in on how that is going. And then it's Tuesday, so we'll have our Phantoms check in as well. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. You can subscribe and you will get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so not much going on in Flyers land, just a Nick Seeler paper transaction, it seems, just to save some cap space there. So not much going on, a bit of a break before the Leafs game on Wednesday night. So we thought we would just take a look around the NHL and see how teams have been handling COVID, especially since, you know, most of the league is vaccinated. So it's a different scenario this year, but it's still an issue. And, you know, it's been an issue, obviously, in all of pro sports, and most recently highlighted by what was going on in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers and him not being entirely forthcoming about his vaccination status, we'll say.
Yeah. You know, a couple weird things about that. You know, the first one is, if you're going to tell half truths, you know, don't like act like, hey, it's just for me, you know, you do whatever you want. Like, you know that you influence people. So that's really, it's not a great thing to do.
What it does in terms of athletes as role models or in this situation, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a really interesting article about that, that basically said, you know, when athletes like Aaron Rodgers do that, it lowers the value of all pro athletes because it shows you can't trust them. Mm-hmm. And so when you are looking to get endorsement deals, your value goes down. And I thought that was an interesting aspect of it that maybe I hadn't thought of, but it's a fair assessment.
It is a fair assessment. And look, even Mike Fisher put out some half-truths about it the other day. He's now retired. We all remember him, and he's, you know, married to Carrie Underwood. So clearly there's a bigger spotlight on him now than when he was a player. And again, a lot of half-truths. Like, yes, we understand that even if you're double vaxxed, there's a chance you could pass it on to somebody. It's something like, it's like a 38% chance still that you could pass it on. But then the odds, what's different, and that nobody's talking about from the other side of the tracks with these other thoughts, is if the other person that you may be passing it to is vaccinated, then it goes even lower. So if you're going unvaxxed to unvaxxed, yes, it's going to be higher. Nothing is 100%. I get it. And even if you're, you know, you have a booster, it's still going to only be good maybe for 3 months with the Delta variant. But then again, there may be a pill by Pfizer that's ready by January, which could, you know, end everything if everybody wanted to take a pill. But,
you know, for me, the main issue here is that, number one, COVID is still very much a thing. It is very active. And no matter what your status is, nobody is immune from it at all. And especially given how sports are in terms of interactions, unmasked, in heavy breathing situations, you know, due to exertion. And, you know, everybody needs to be as careful as possible. And that's the reason why they do have certain health and safety protocols in place. And, you know, you see it in the NBA as well. The Sixers are having a bit of a terrible run right now with Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris, other players as well. So it's not going away. It's just change. And what we're seeing is that, you know, there were several athletes, you know, last year pre-vaccination, Jonathan Toews definitely had long COVID based on everything that was said. And, you know, there were some other hockey players as well.
Yeah, Alex Stalock still can't play because of the myocardia situation with the heart. The other thing I was going to mention is it also matters if people are masked in their private lives. That's a big deal. Like, I still wear a mask in a lot of places. Now, if I'm eating, sure, I'll take the mask down and I'll eat. But if I'm in a supermarket, I wear it. There's a lot of places that I wear it. I still don't act like, just because I have two vaccinations in me, that I'm covered. But the other thing is, and this is what's interesting between the Flyers and the Sixers, and that's what makes me think maybe the Sixers are not quite as diligent out of the arena. The Wells Fargo is one of the few arenas, and I don't know how many actually did get upgraded, but I don't think it was more than like 5 or 10 with the updated air system and everything else. So, because there was talk last year that if they had another bubble, they might do it at Wells Fargo because they actually did upgrade everything. And, you know, when you have more circulating air and everything else, the chances are less that you're going to get it. But again, I don't know how many arenas did it, but when you're looking at the Sixers next to the Flyers, as far as, you know, a group, you know, Sixers aren't doing it as well, or they're unlucky, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, you know, and some of this could also be chance. You never know.
Yeah.
I do know the two new arenas in the league in Seattle and the new Islanders arena both upgraded their system significantly during COVID because they were under construction at the time.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So it was
much
easier for them to be able to do that. But, you know, we have had some teams with some bigger issues this season. The Blackhawks did. They had 5 players on the list, including Patrick Kane. You know, I think for me, the biggest team issue was the Winnipeg Jets. They only had 2 at the beginning of the season, but it was Wheeler and Scheifele, which are two of their top players. So, you know, and the Penguins are having a rough go of it now. So this thing isn't going away. But that being said, I do think that the NHL overall has put together a decent policy in terms of, you know, what it means if you're vaccinated, what it means if you're not vaccinated. Could they be doing testing more often for vaccinated players? Maybe. It's every 72 hours. Maybe they need to move that up to 48 hours, given the number of cases that they're having right now.
The only difficulty with that is that then you're going to still have guys getting pulled right before the game starts, or even just after the game starts. Remember when that was happening? That hasn't really happened much this year, but it could happen again.
Yeah, people, they're just canceling morning skates until test results come back at this point. I know they did that in Ottawa as well. So I think, you know, overall, the Flyers have been very lucky in that they just had to deal with Patrick Brown in protocol, and that was because of international travel.
even in Canada, it's not a perfect science. Somebody I know went to a Leafs game, covered a Leafs game recently, and was tested, showed the PCR test. They're like, well, but we're going to give you a random test now. So then they give you a random test, and you have to go and bring it to a place, drop it off, and you get results 8 days later, but that person was only staying for the day. So it's like, what did that actually do? You know, so there's still a lot of things that are, I don't want to say problematic, but just could be streamlined, and they're not, on both ends.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, like I said, given the increase in the number of cases recently, I do think increased testing is probably a good idea, especially the rapid testing. And the NHL has access to resources to turn around PCR testing faster. And I think they should do it before it gets, you know, to be a bigger issue overall.
Well, because the other, because you know what the other big issue is? If they start to have game cancellations, which they haven't had yet, but if they start to have them and it's getting close to Olympic time, you know, that could cancel the Olympics, because the NHLs would only cancel just so many games and then let the guys still go play in the Olympics. Like, at some point, they would have to pull the plug on it. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the coming months as it gets colder and more people are inside.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Once again, thanks for making Lockdown Flyers your first listen every day. We are free and available on all of your podcasting platforms. All right, Russ, so we've got some good news and some bad news in Lehigh Valley, right?
Yeah.
The good news is that the Phantoms have not only won one game, but they have won two games, which is two games better than the last time we talked about them.
Yes, they're marginally better, but they're still at the bottom.
It's true. So they're still in last place in the Atlantic Division. They're still in last place in the AHL overall, despite winning two of three this past week. They won against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, which was good. That was a shutout.
Yeah.
And then split a pair of games at Charlotte, losing 7-3, but then turning around and winning 5-3. And there's some like really interesting lessons that we can learn from those three games and from the season overall. First, I want to talk about some players. And the first guy I want to bring up is somebody that was a complete unknown to me until a couple of weeks ago, because a new signing for the Phantoms this year as a more of a veteran player, Hayden Hodgson. And Hayden attended Phantoms training camp this year. He had a tryout contract and got an AHL deal from that. He had spent most of his time the last couple of years in Wheeling and my old stomping grounds, Utah. Go Grizzlies. In the ECHL last year, he had 8 goals and 10 assists in 44 games, but 127 penalty minutes, that says anything.
Yeah, it definitely says something.
His, you know, biggest year, I guess, as a hockey player, he had a 38-goal season in Sarnia when he was in the OHL in 2016-17. And, you know, I would describe his style of play as a physical player with a decent shot, based on what I've seen so far. The last he had played at the AHL level was in 2017-18 for Cleveland. But so far this season, he's only played 6 games for the Phantoms, unlike some of the other guys who've been in, you know, 10 games. But he has 3 goals and an assist so far, which is not too shabby. He had a pretty decent weekend, kind of a roller coaster of a weekend, but he had a goal and an assist on Wednesday. He scored again on Sunday in Charlotte, but then on Saturday in Charlotte, he took out the goalie and got a game misconduct. So a little bit of
an interesting player.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the other things is in the division, the Phantoms are one of the most penalized team. I think they're the second most penalized team.
Mm-hmm.
So while this player probably fits the mold of what Ian LaPerrière wants, he doesn't want him to run into the goalie like that. But then it's hard to control these kinds of players, like Brendan Lemieux, as an example, is that kind of player. And he can score some goals, but then, you know, can also have these bad moments in games taking dumb penalties.
Yeah, it was a super dumb penalty. And I do understand the team was frustrated. That game was a disaster on all fronts, but there was no excuse for the play that went down. So looking at some of the other guys, have to give our weekly Morgan Frost update. It's in the contract.
And,
you know, I would say that his play has been improving. He's still, you know, as you say on many occasions, he's a pass-first kind of guy. So look at his stats. He's got 1 goal and 7 assists so far this season, which tracks for the style of player that he is. But I would say just his gameplay overall has been improving a little bit. I think positionally he's been a little better, and he's been working with his line mates a little better. He's still not there yet, but I would say things are trending well.
Yeah, I just, again, I still don't know why he's with Jerry Mayhew. I get he scores some occasional goals, but he's feeding Jerry Mayhew, and it's like there's going to be so much more talent that he'd be feeding at the NHL level. And so if he makes Jerry Mayhew a better player, is that getting him a quicker call-up? I don't think so. And so I still question that, but he is distributing the puck well on the power play. He has been setting up good plays. He has been much more confident. I think he's been playing good defense. But there is going to be a point, and normally I would never say this, right? But there is a point where if your AHL team is bad and you've got him playing on a bad team down there, is that going to be a help for him to develop or hope that he plays better when he calls up? Might not be. There might be a point where they have to call him up because things are just not going well down there and it's not going to be beneficial for him. That usually doesn't happen, and I don't talk about it a lot, but the possibility's there. I can't ignore it.
That's a fair point. And, you know, you look at the Phantoms overall in terms of who's the top scorers and, you know, Frost has the most points overall. Jerry Mayhew is right there in the two slot with 6 points. But, you know, he's got 4 goals and 2 assists, which shows you that Frost is feeding Mayhew and
yes.
Mayhew's the one who's getting those goals.
Yep.
And that's absolutely a fair point. And I think that, you know, there will be a point in time where they have to decide, is this Phantoms team a good place for Morgan Frost to develop? I think you're spot on there. And I think they need to give the Phantoms more time, but not much more.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to Cam York and Igor Zamula. They each got their first goals of the season. Zamula, it was his first pro goal on Sunday in that win. And both goals were pretty similar, like from the same spot on similar plays, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, and York's playing particularly well, skating really well. I still want to see him win more corner battles, but he's passing the puck great and he's skating great. Those things will be good, and those are good tools to have, but, you know, like that other component that's missing from his game's got to get in his game. So that's a reason Cam York's down there now, and I don't know if I'd call him up this year because he's just not quite physically there. I mean, if you have him, you know, an emergency and they're really short, do it. But I think Zamula is slightly ahead of them still.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we'll get to this in the next segment. One of the issues that this team has been having is with its power play. And if Cam York and Igor Zamula aren't creating success on that front, then they're not going to get the call up on that alone, right? And that's what they really need to be proving at this level.
True.
Max Willman got his 4th goal of the season. Jackson Cates had a nice shorty on Saturday in that loss. It was a really good play, and he got a breakaway on that. So it was good to see for him. That was his 1st goal of the season as well. Was there anybody else you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, the Forster goal on the power play was nice. Kind of let me know, I guess, that he's healthy, and that's good. Because he needs to sort of, you know, get on track. And Maxim Shushko, you know, his one-timer goal was really good, but his play in his own end still needs to get a little better. But he's definitely improving as well. And I think he was forgotten about for a little while. But the thing about it is I looked at the numbers, and, like, he has 2 points in 6 games, but he only has 1.67 shots per game. He could do better than that, but I don't know if they're asking him to shoot more. Like, I'm not there with the coaches. If I were... You know, one of the coaches, I'd say, listen, you got to shoot more because, you know, you'll get more points. Like, that's what you're basically showing me. But I don't know if that's happening.
I'm not sure I would put any money on the Phantoms at all this season.
It's a safe bet.
But if I was going to bet on hockey, BetOnline is the place I would go. BetOnline is back and better than ever. They've got a new web interface for this crazy start to the basketball season. They've got more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football and hockey action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From hockey to basketball, football, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Russ. So in our show outline, I titled this segment, Are We Capital W Worried About the Phantoms? And I think that,
yes,
you know, there's some things to consider here. Obviously, we know record-wise, the team is just not good. They're in the basement. But there are some definite things to consider here. And the first is injury issues. They've had a ton of them. And I think at the AHL level, flexibility is key because of players getting called up and all sorts of craziness happens. So you should be able to maintain some sort of success, even with an ever-changing roster. But that being said, the Phantoms have had a lot of injuries. So, you know, preseason, Ryan Fitzgerald, Tanner Lozinski, Sam Moran. So far this season, Mason Milman has been out. Lena Sandin is out. Samu Tuomala is out. Sam Ersson, goaltender, out after last Friday's game.
Yeah, Tuomala's been out for a while.
And then this week, Wyatt Wiley was knocked out. Sushko left the game with injuries. Tyson Forster hurt his shoulder slamming into a wall on Saturday. He did not play Sunday. They called up Matt Strome from Reading, which is always a bad sign.
Yeah.
Calling up Matt Strome is always the indicator to me that there's something wrong, which I feel bad saying that for Matt Strome, but
I do too. He's a good guy.
It is. And he's a good guy, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you some things that worried me watching. When they were up 4-1 against Charlotte and it got to 4-3, it got to 4-3 because they were playing completely loose. Like they just, Charlotte was going wide. They were throwing pucks deep and they weren't countering the play. So, you know, the first one, they get in close. The second one, they go, it was sort of like a wraparound. And, you know, there were a lot of guys standing around watching. I mean, that game barely was a win. I mean, they did get an empty netter, but it got close quick. And it got close because of lackadaisical play. And I didn't get that. That's the part that worries me. You could be missing players, and that happens. But that's the part that worries me.
Yeah, and that's really the next point is, like, what's going on here with their systems, their style of play, and ultimately that relates to coaching, right? So do they know how to respond when someone scores on them? Do they know how to gain and keep momentum, you know, and then how do they respond after a loss? I think if you look at all of those things, the answers are not good.
I think Felix Sandstrom has really covered a lot of ills there with his good play.
Yeah. And, you know, he was pulled from the game on Saturday. They put him back in on Sunday and I thought he played pretty well. So that was good to see. But you're right. I think he has ultimately covered up some of the mistakes here when he's had those really good games that he's kept them in games, like to keep them closer than maybe it should be, you know, or they've just like gone off the rails. Those are kind of the two options.
Imagine if they had a weekend, three games, let's just say, wouldn't happen. But let's say they had three games against Scranton. They would lose all three games right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, neither of us would have confidence.
You know, what do you do here when you can't get any combination of a lineup together that can work together well and knows how to respond to different situations? And I understand that Ian LaPerriere is like a new head coach.
But we're 10 games into it.
We're plenty of games into it where some of the day-to-day issues should have been ironed out by now. And he should be able to have words that will explain to these guys what to do. And they should feel like they want to play for each other, that they want to play cohesively. And right now, I just see a lot of individual pieces and parts and not a team.
Right. And that's why I'm advocating for Frost to play with one of the better young players instead of making Jerry Mayhew better. Because it's clear he's making him better. But it's not going to help anybody in the long run. It's not even giving them wins. So that's why it's kind of puzzling why that's happening.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the striking problems that we talked about in the last segment was special teams. I mean, power play is 5-47 this season, which is still last in the AHL. They have one shorthanded goal against. And this past weekend, they went 0-8 on Wednesday. They were 1-for-7 on Saturday and 1-for-3 on Sunday.
See, this is a league that has plenty of time to practice, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's no excuse to not get the power play going. You've got players there. Like, I get it with Forster in and out and some of these guys, but still, you have enough there. Honestly, just with Cam York, Frost, Zamula, if you wanted to play two defensemen, some do, some don't, most don't. You have enough guys here
mm-hmm.
to at least have a good power play one.
And it's just not cutting it. And so to me, that says I have a coaching staff that doesn't know how to put a team together and put a system together.
Right now, I mean, that's what we're looking at. I mean, you know, they're 2-6-2 and they're 10. In their next 10, it's only slightly better. After 20 games, we're going to start looking at this and saying, I don't know, this doesn't look good.
Well, we will definitely be keeping track of all of this. Their upcoming games are Wednesday at Hershey, Friday at Providence, and then Saturday against Springfield. So a couple of new teams in there that we haven't seen yet this season.
I need to go back to Hershey, you know, because for two reasons. It smells like chocolate, and for like the media meal, which I don't know if they'd have right now in COVID times, but they had like chocolate cheesecake, and their chocolate cheesecake with Hershey chocolate is really good. So I need to get back there for that. And it's a nice, you know, nice building too.
Yeah, it does seem like a nice rink. And hopefully the Phantoms can turn things around. You know, we're not being negative because we're naturally wanting to be that way. It is out of genuine concern. And we need a quality AHL team to develop good players for the Flyers. And right now, we're worried about it.
Yeah.
Wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing, going back to the Warrior Classic. Russ, you mentioned at the top some of the Flyers were there, so there's a little bit of video of them cheering the Warriors players on. Super cool. Again, congratulations to all of those teams.
Although I feel bad. Somebody got chirped online because they shot one. I guess they had a wide open shot. They shot it over the net, and they were like, well, Travis Konechny saw that because he was, you know, standing behind the net. And it's like, that's not nice. That's tough, man.
These are not pro hockey players.
No.
Thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back again tomorrow with a preview for our first matchup against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be doing a crossover with the host of Locked On Leafs. And we'll hit our mailbag. So send your questions in via Twitter at Locked On Flyers, or you can email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's R-M-I-R-I-A-M.
I'm Russ, and I'm at Sportsology, Sportsology.
You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.